Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, January 1st, 2021. Today we are reading from the Big Book in the chapter There Is a Solution, and we are on page 26, the first full paragraph. Reading the 12 steps today is Christina M. Reading 12 traditions is Denise D. And reading the text are Julie E.B., Jody E., and Jordan L. The share IDs for yesterday and this morning are yesterday, December 31st at 10 a.m., 16,105 or 16,105. And this morning, January 1st, 7 a.m. meeting, the share ID is 16,111 or 16,111. Our newcomer greeter today is Suzanne W., and announcements will be given by Betsy H. at the end of the meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Christina M. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina M. And Denise D., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Yes, thank you. This is Denise D., compulsive overeater from Florida. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Denise C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 26, the first full paragraph, and I will ask Julie E.B. to get us started. Thank you, Julie. Julie, press star 1. I don't hear you.
I'm here. Hi, this is Julie A.B., gratefully recovered, compulsive overeater. I'm the only one awake in my house on this happy Friday, but really happy, let's see, to read for you today. All right. A certain American businessman had ability, good sense, and high character. For years, he had floundered from one sanitarium to another. He had consulted the best-known American psychiatrist. Then he'd gone to Europe, placing himself in the care of a celebrated physician, the psychiatrist Dr. Young, who prescribed for him. Though experience had made him skeptical, he finished his treatment with unusual confidence. His physical and mental condition were unusually good. Above all, he believed he had acquired such a profound knowledge of the inner workings of his mind and its hidden springs that relapse was unthinkable. Nevertheless, he was drunk in a short time. More baffling still, he could give himself no satisfactory explanation. for the full. Once again, Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. you know, if you're a person who's woken up and had a fall on New Year's Eve or over the holidays or whatever it is, if you woke up with a new resolution this morning, as I did for many years and even decades, I just want to give you my experience, strength, and hope. You know, I was dead and dying in this disease that people have heard me say, 300 pounds, bedbound, six medical specialists, cardiology, pulmonology, neurology, neurosurgery, OB, surgery, GI surgery, and everything in my life I thought I knew it all. And one of the things I love about this paragraph is that it shows us the truth. This disease, our food, it doesn't care what we think about it. If you, like me, have the allergy of the body to certain foods, ingredients, and behaviors, and the mental twist, this is the very nature of the mental twist right here. Ability, high character, oh yeah, and some sanitariums. Consulted the best, oh yeah, so he's there. And he had been skeptical, sure, that's what he thought about it. But he finished with confidence. He was unusually good physical and mental condition. This disease does not care what we think about it. I had my profound spiritual experience with the paragraph right before this that shares that we can go on to the bitter end, blotting out our consciousness, our awakeness to our intolerable situation. I don't know what's intolerable for you. For me, at first, I thought it was the food, but my intolerable condition was how painful I found life, how rough going it was for me, and the fact that no matter what I thought about life, no matter how many I tried to scare myself straight, I tried to get into resentment to get straight, I felt bad to get straight, all of those things, as I found out in the fourth step, were actually working against me. And instead, I found a higher power who would care for and protect me. So as you start this new year, think about a caring higher power, the provision of everything you need for your health, welfare, and maintenance of your condition. What if you didn't have to do all that? What if it wasn't your thinking that did all that? What if you just called, asked for help, sought spiritual help, get a sponsor, and get going. Thanks for letting me share, and happy Friday.
Thank you, Julie E.B., for getting us started. And now I would like to take names of people who would like to share today. And let me remind you that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every day. So if you haven't shared on Wednesday or Thursday on this meeting, please feel free to give me your name. Who would like
Noel E?
Noel E. Who else?
Janice PM.
Christina J.
Amanda B.
Roz G.
Christina
okay,
J.
One second. So I have Noel E, Janice PM, Amanda. I didn't get your last initial.
B as in Bob.
Okay, thanks, Amanda. And Roz G. And there was someone else. I didn't
get Paul L. Juan G.
Cindy C.
I heard Paul L. Denise.
Christina J.
I'm sorry, who was that with the J?
Christina
J. Okay, let's stop there, and we'll take more names later. So I have Noel E., Janice P.M., Amanda B., Roz G., Paul L., Denise C., and Christina J. Please share with us, Noel.
Hi, Noel E., grateful, compulsive overeater from Louisiana. I'm so grateful for this meeting. Thank you, everybody, for your service. I've never had a January 1st like this because, actually, it's not even January 1st. It's just another day that I get to share what God has given me, that I get to give away what he's brought to me. And, you know, this passage is, it speaks to me so strongly, because there wasn't a self-help conference or a feminist Christian author that I couldn't that I couldn't rally around to fix all my problems. I could go to Tony Robbins. I could go to see Glennon Doyle speak. All of those things were outward solutions that people could see I was making the effort. And they just, they had like a timeline. They would be effective for a little while. The weeks going before it and then the weeks after were always like real exciting, or real well, or whatever that felt like. The same with like training for a half marathon or whatever. And there was just no understanding of what kept debilitating me. And I just am so grateful that I'm not looking at any of those people or any of those events or any of those, that I thought that those were solutions. And now I just get to, look inward and see God filling me up and pouring out of me, and nothing compares. I hope everybody has a beautiful day, and thank you again for your service. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Noel. Okay, let's see. Janice PM, please share with us.
Yes, thank you for this wonderful opportunity. My name is Janice PM, and I'm from Boston, Massachusetts, and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Well, it's just like it was said, it's January 1st, the calendar has changed, and I'm going to look more positive, because I am positive today because of this program, of what I learned and what I have done. I don't have to make a resolution today and say, well, this year now I'm going to do this, and because you know what, that never worked. And what this paragraph is teaching me is, it doesn't matter how much I know. And being in this program for some years, I thought, well, I'll get the best sponsor. I'll go to the best meeting. I'll go to so many meetings, and then I will change. Well, let me tell you something. From my experience only, that I could never change myself because I was powerless. I didn't know that. That's the knowledge that I really got to know, and hopefully today is another day and I don't forget that, because we're all susceptible. We have one day if I don't do the same thing. But, my story is, he went to this Roland Hazard that they're talking about, went to the best psychiatrist that money could buy, like Dr. Silkworth, like Dr. Young, like another doctor, I forget the name. But anyway, they were the best the money could buy. And I thought I had the best, too, before I came into the bar, because, my husband was a dentist. He could wire my teeth. Well, the best is not this best. The best is right here with these 12 steps. When I found a power greater than myself and greater than meetings, and I'm not saying that I don't attend meetings, but if there is something that's greater than all of us, and that's the power that's going to change me, I'm not going to change myself because I can't. So when I find that power, that's why it was so baffling. It was so confusing. Gee, I would do this and I would do that. And still I picked up that trigger food that made me compulsively overeat. Today I really K-N-O-W, that I know K-N-O-W, a power that's greater than myself that will heal me. And let me tell you, this last year was challenging, but I can list the number of grateful things that happened to me. And, we're always looking at the negative. Well, this happened. I'm glad it's a new year. If God continues to bless me with his grace, you know, for this year, then I'm a woman of grace and nothing can get in front of me. So sorry, folks, the solution cannot be bought. No, we can't get it from 90 meetings. And I'm going to pass. I hear you, Kath. Thank you. And because I cannot regain self-control. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice PM. Amanda B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Amanda B. from Toronto, Canada. I so am grateful to be here. You know, my resolution this morning was, God, please help me get closer to you. And I was just so grateful to know that I had my meal last night and nothing else. I'm actually grateful for COVID at this particular moment in that I don't want to be at a party. I don't want to have to be challenged. I went to bed at 9 o'clock and I was so happy about it. And I so relate to this paragraph where, you know, I am one of the smartest people I know, and it's been so useless here in program. Actually, it's been an impediment because I keep thinking I can solve this because I can solve anything. And it's so backwards that the minute I say I can't solve this, it gets solved. I think I never wanted to say I am powerless over food because I thought it was saying I am a complete failure as a person and my self-knowledge should fix it. But what it actually means to me now is I am a loved and lovable child of God and I have a problem that I need help with. I kind of saw step one as submission versus surrender. Like, you better admit that you're no good. And, you know, I kind of like to couple step one with step two, which is you're powerless, but you're not going to be left without a solution. And I remember when I was struggling with anxiety and thought, I'm not going to take medication. I exercised for an hour a day. I meditated for an hour a day. I did everything the doctor said. And after, I don't know, 20 years or something, I said, I'm just going to take medication. And I accepted the help. And now I don't say, oh, my God, I have anxiety. I'm so bad. I just say, that's just a condition, and it's okay. And, you know, I always wish that I didn't have it. But I don't have to like it to accept it. And that's something that's helped me so much with my food. I don't have to like being a compulsive overeater to accept it. And the other self-knowledge lie I told myself is if I could just solve my life problems, this food problem would go away. But I was never able to hold the symptom down long enough to solve the life problem. And on top of all that, I get a fellowship and a host of friends that get me closer and closer to God and my true self and the family that I want to identify in with. So there's only good that comes through this. And like I said, the biggest thing for me is I can accept it even if I don't like it. And all I need is the desire to stop eating compulsively. That's all I need to be here. So thank you for letting me share, and thank you all for being here.
Thank you so much, Amanda B. Next up is Roz G. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning. My name is Roz G, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. From Palmdale, California, also waking up abstinent, having gone to bed early, feeling so wonderful today. This is fun, looking at this paragraph, because I have in the margin here the things that I did. You know, it's like, can you imagine having being a person of great wealth where you could travel to different lands and go to Europe and see some special diet doctor. And it makes me think of Oprah, who has the chef, the personal chef, and the personal trainer that, you know, lived with her. Yet, and I won't bring her into this, but I'm just, you know, comparing myself to her. If I had all that, I would still, without a spiritual awakening and spiritual help and the spiritual tools that are laid at my feet, would still be compulsively overeating. And, you know, and then to say, for me, my trip to Europe was not a trip to Europe, but, you know, I was on a show. I was on a show called Oprah's All Stars. I got chosen I put in an application to be chosen for this show as a person who had been on over 20 diets. And when she had her network, she had this show called Oprah's All Stars. And I was one of the guests as a person, and I was given a diet book, and I got a chance to talk to the best of the best. I mean, so we think. This was all human aid. It doesn't matter, you know, whether I go to Europe and talk to the number one psychiatrist in the world or the number one diet guru. None of that stuff worked. None of it. Zero. Self-knowledge availed me nothing. Half measures availed me nothing, because within a short time, I was eating once again. And so I had to get into enough pain. My life had to be I had to be on my knees. And I had to say, I have no more answers. Would you please help me? And I think I was the most humble with my current sponsor by telling her I'm into the cauliflower crust pizza. I'm into the sugar-free chocolate chips again. And those are the things that don't work for me. So today, as has been mentioned, I spend a great deal of time in prayer and meditation in the morning. I have a wonderful food plan, and I eat well, but it's all according to the plan, and I'm not ingesting alcoholic ingredients. And with that, I pass. Happy New Year.
Thank you very much, Roz G., and Happy New Year to you. Paul L., please share with us.
Yes, hi, my name's Paul, compulsive overeater from Fernandina Beach, Florida. And I just wanted to say, yeah, I knew everything about my food problem except the solution. And I'm grateful that someone took me under their wing and took me through the steps and was able to give me that solution. And today marks my 6 months of abstinence. And it's not always easy. You know, sometimes cravings come back. Sometimes, I'm hard on myself. My character defects, I still have them. But it's just so much better, and so much better waking up. And I was at the point where I was suicidal. I couldn't say, and I wasn't overweight or anything like that. I just couldn't stop, and I was probably headed that direction. And it was that the addiction starts with pain and ends with pain. And I'm so grateful that, you know, I don't have to figure this thing out. I just have to continue to do my 10 steps in my nightly inventory. And get to meetings. And I don't like New Year's resolutions. I prefer the word lifestyle change and new habits. And I think I'm grateful to be able to get to a meeting here and a couple meetings a week and practice my recovery. And one thing someone told me a long time ago was, whenever you're struggling, whenever you can't get out of it, call a newcomer and ask them how they're doing. Call somebody you're working with and ask them how they're doing. And if you can't find that, call somebody and ask them how they're doing without mentioning your problems. And it's not an easy thing to do when you like to talk about yourself all the time. So, and when you're self-centered, but it does work. And I know that from experience. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Paul L. Denise C., please share with us. Press star one, Denise.
Did you mean Cindy C?
Oh, I guess I did. Okay.
Okay, thank you. This is Cindy C from Illinois, recovered compulsive eater and bulimic. During the early years of my bulimia, life did not seem impossible or hopeless. In fact, I thought it was great. I was successful in my chosen profession and felt I was winning at life. I was completing a master's degree. I had lots of friends and almost always got the guy I was interested in. And I loved buying clothes. While I knew it was unhealthy and destructive, bulimia was an acceptable weight management option for me. I thought I was getting away with something. In my mind, bulimia was kind of a support system. Somehow I viewed it as helping me to get things I wanted out of life, which was staying thin, looking attractive and sexy, having exciting dating life, and hanging out with a trendy party crowd. It was also the beginning of denial, delusion, and other forms of twisted thinking about myself and about life. One example of my twisted thinking was, do I really need God or any spiritual practice in my life? Maybe religion and spirituality are forms of personal weakness. As Harlan has said, the first victim of compulsive eating is the truth, including the lies we tell ourselves. Self-esteem and self-respect were eventually victims of my lies and gradually replaced by self-hatred. What seemed at first to be minor mood swings grew into emotional instability. For 10 years, I was married and then divorced my husband, believing he was the impossible one. I told my friends and family that he couldn't maintain an emotional connection and was mean. I hadn't yet heard of OA and persisted in this impossible, futile, and hopeless lifestyle for a few more years. The lies that began years earlier were now entrenched and had become a blinding and destructive facade. One day, an angel, dressed as one of my coworkers, mentioned that she was involved with OA. That was 8 years ago. I have found much of heaven since, but not without deeply painful self-searching. I consider every day a gift from my higher power. God and everyone involved in Vision for You is teaching me how miraculous life can be, how to be forgiving, loving, and kind human being. I don't have a life without problems or complications, but I wake up every day by first surrendering my will and confessing my trust to my higher power. Conscious contact with God is something that I now crave. Step 10s are most difficult for me as I lived most of my life denying authentic feelings in any given moment. It's not natural for me to admit negative emotions. I carry a small notebook in my handbag so that even if there was a hint of negative component or dishonesty in some interaction, I jot it down so I can review it later. I still don't feel feelings automatically as others might. There was nothing middle of the road about the decades of lies that I engaged in, so nothing middle of the road about the effort needed to do it differently. With gratitude, I pass.
Thank you very much, Cindy C. Christina J., please share with us.
Good morning. Good morning for your service. Thank you for your service today, and I sincerely mean that. It's beautiful that we get to be of service at this stage in the program in our lives. New Year's. I was just thinking and really contemplating on this morning, and sure, I had New Year's where I was off the food and some crazy diet, and I had New Year's where I wasn't off the food and into the food. But every time was not usually happy. I mean, sure, I had diets that lasted, and I had moments of happiness in them, but most of the time it was struggling and white-knuckling, and I didn't know why. I just knew that if I got thin, that I could be loved. And if I got the perfect body, I could be loved. And if I got all that, my career would take off. You know, that was my main goal, is for that career to take off. And I went through all this stuff. I flew one time to another city to talk to someone about my problem. It wasn't some great psychiatrist, but it was a doctor. And went away sort of with something to start, but it didn't work. And the thing that really stood out to me in this paragraph today was the word unusual and confidence. I really never had atypical, unexpected, unfamiliar confidence. I never had extraordinary or particular or marked confidence, or, you know, this unusual word is really interesting to me because I didn't ever feel that. In every diet, when I finished, during the diet, I wasn't confident. I just wanted to lose weight, and that was what was going to give me the confidence. The food being down didn't. I was kind of amazed that I didn't have cravings during that time because, you know, when we put our food down, the allergy is down. But yet there was something else, and it drives us to the part of the paragraph where, nevertheless, I was drunk in a short time on my food. It was baffling. I didn't understand. Today I don't have unusual confidence. Today I have confidence, which the meaning of confidence is the feeling or belief that one can rely on something or something. It's a firm trust. And there's other definitions of confidence. But this is the confidence I have today, a trust, belief, a faith, a conviction, a reliance, and a dependence upon this power within me. And I loved what someone said about the New Year's resolution for her was getting closer to the higher power. And that almost made me cry, because that's my yearning every day now. It's not to walk around in a thin body. It's not to say, oh, I have fantastic foods that I can eat, and oh, my, you know, I got on the scale and it was this. It's none of that. It's I want to be closer to God, because time is ticking. Life is passing by. And what is my joy these days? To be of service to others. Because without that, what have I got? Ego. I'm looking in the mirror. I'm getting on Facebook and posting pictures of myself. It's nothing. It's nothing. It means nothing. But if I can help another and my heart can expand, that is God's work through me. And that's what I get. That's the greatest gift from this program. It's not being thin and having the food down. The greatest gift is being of a complete, honest, innocent confidence that comes from God. And it's unusual because I never had it. It's beautiful because I never had it. So the gifts of, I'll finish up, the gifts of this program are immense, and they grow every day deeper and deeper as long as we continue to rely on that confidence of God that can live within us. And I encourage everyone to get going on this program. There's miracles waiting. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina J. Okay. Just a reminder for those who may have joined us late, we are reflecting on the first full paragraph on page 26 in the big book, A Certain American Businessman. The paragraph begins. And I am now ready to take some more names of people who would like to share. If you haven't shared in the last 3 days, you are welcome to put your name on the list.
Stephen G.
N-W-H.
Okay, Stephen G. I got.
Ken W-H.
Ken W-H. Who else? I'm sorry?
Hi, it's...
Go ahead.
Teresa A.
Teresa A.
Maria A.
Maria A.
Pam M.
Pam N. Anyone else? Okay, let's stop there, and if we have more time at the end, I'll ask again. Stephen G., please share with us.
Good morning. I'm Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. I love Bill Wilson's writing. You know, in the preceding chapters, he's laying out the case for the hopeless nature of the disease. And in this chapter, he's going to talk about the solution. But he keeps giving us examples over and over in different ways of the hopeless nature of the disease. I love the first two lines of this paragraph are two of my favorite in the big book. If they were in any other piece of literature, they don't make sense that they should come one after the other. But in this one, it makes perfect sense. A certain American businessman had ability, good sense, and high character. For years, he had floundered from one sanitarium to another. Two sentences which both say completely different, completely opposite things. You know, the extremes of this disease, and I can relate to them completely. I thought I had good ability, good sense, and high character. But as this disease progressed, it led me basically into my bedroom in the dark, alone, covered in food stains, suicidal, miserable. And in this chapter, or in this paragraph, he's referring to Roland Hazard, who was the son of a wealthy family in New England who had access to all the resources to try to overcome alcoholism. And he keeps referring to human power. He consulted the best American psychiatrist to no avail. He went to Europe and placed himself under the care of a celebrated physician to no avail. And for me, you know, I tried all the diets. went to all the gyms, got all the personal trainers, got all the nutritionists, and still, it didn't help me. He talks about finishing his treatment with unusual confidence. There were a number of times towards the end when I finally surrendered where I thought I had it under control. But of course I didn't. Again, I was drunk in a very short time. And that was necessary. It was necessary for me to just be completely demoralized. And then once I was completely demoralized and realized that no human power, my own or other people's, couldn't help me, then I was willing to surrender to the solution, which was entire abstinence and then working the steps to unblock me from self so that I could have a spiritual experience and have access to God, basically. And for the first time in my life, you know, I'm peaceful when I'm abstinent. I've been able to maintain a steady body weight, wear the same size clothes for years. But more important than that, be able to face life and all of its ups and downs with some degree of serenity so long as I continue to work step 10, 11, and 12. And I'm grateful for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen G. Ken W.H., please share with us.
Thank you very much. I'm so grateful to be here, and blessed New Year to everybody. I'm coming up on my 6 months as well, as I heard earlier from someone, and that's a gift beyond belief. For me, who has been around recovery for 38 plus years, what I'm aware of is just even this businessman having the capability and the means to make a decision to fly overseas and see a world-renowned psychiatrist is control. That's kind of a fundamental issue for me that I didn't realize I had. I did not think of myself as a control nut. But that's, I think, a part of what's at the heart of this. I have already admitted that I have no choice with respect to food, but when it comes to food, and once it's in me, there is no choice anymore. But by golly, I'm going to still try to control what goes on in my life. That's for sure. I want that control. And the really good news for me is that while there's no satisfactory explanation, there is a solution. And I still think at its root for me is this desire or need to control or to feel some sense of control when that butts up against the absolute necessity for full surrender, complete and absolute surrender of powerlessness, lack of control when it comes to food. And they're just right up against each other. And I had an experience at one time where I was just caught in a situation that seemed to have no solution available to me at hand. And I found myself crying out to God that I can't get this. And those are the words I use, something to that effect. I can't get this. And I've come to understand and have this image of God and me playing a game of charades. And at that moment that I said, I can't get this, there's God with his finger to his nose pointing right at me, basically saying, that's exactly right, Ken. You can't get this, but I got it. And so I've come to understand that the truth I had been dodging for years and years and years is right there in front of me. And it was in the form of the God of my understanding, pointing his finger right at me with his finger on his nose and a big smile on his face, saying, it's about time, Ken. Let's get on with this life. So I'm grateful, thankful to be here. God bless you all.
Thank you, Ken W.H. Teresa A., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. This is Teresa A. calling in from Maryland. And I am speaking this morning because I am following instructions. I have a sponsor, and she said that I was to come on one of the Envision for You phone meetings. This is my son, as a newcomer.
I'm having trouble hearing you, Teresa.
Okay, let me see what I can do about that.
Is that better?
Yes, much better. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I was sharing that I'm on the line this morning because I'm following instructions. I was instructed by my brand new sponsor to come on the line and introduce myself as a newcomer. And when I first saw those instructions, I thought to myself, well, how can I do that? Because I've been on a vision for you from day one. But those were the instructions that I was given. And when I look at this chapter here, this paragraph here about Roland Hazard, he believed he had acquired so much of a profound knowledge of the inner workings of his mind and its hidden springs that relapse was unthinkable. And there's a lot that I know about this disease, but the peace that comes with this entire abstinence has eluded me. So I do come here as a newcomer today. I'm here to see what else can be revealed to me so that I can finally grasp what it means to be entirely abstinent, because I've tried everything and I've tried to learn by osmosis, but I really do want full recovery. So I come today with new eyes and following instructions. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Teresa A. Maria A., please share with us.
Hi, thank you very much for your service. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the reading, and thank God for OA and for Vision for You calls. I'm Maria A. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Dundas, Ontario, Canada. And, you know, I love this book, and I love this part where it's very clear that he is working on human aid. You know, we read that he believed he had acquired such a profound knowledge of the inner workings of his mind and the hidden springs that relapse was unthinkable. And but nevertheless, he was drunk in a short time. And that's definitely a picture, a snapshot of, you know, decades of my life trying to control the food. And thankfully today with the 12 steps, a recovered sponsor and the willingness to get up every day and just try again to do the best that I can with steps 10, 11, and 12, I have an opportunity to live a different life. And, you know, I was thinking about 2021 and what are my words for 2021. And, you know, they really are about gratitude and service and hope. You know, and I really am wishing everyone a beautiful new year of recovery. It's so wonderful to wake up and not be needing to make food resolutions and to be in a place of acceptance of my life and the things in my life that I have to be grateful for. And I have them to be grateful for because of this program. It would be a very different picture if I wasn't working the 12 steps. So super grateful and very, very happy to be able to be on this call, and I wish you all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Maria A. And Pam, and you'll be our last share today, and can you please keep it to 2 minutes? Thank you. Press star one, Pam.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can.
Thank you so much for taking my name, and I'll be glad to limit it to 2 minutes. I don't have much to say. I don't normally share, and so this is a challenge for me. I listen to meetings frequently, and I value all of you. I appreciate your sharing, your experience, strength, and hope. I did want to share this morning something that has occurred to me and maybe would help someone else. I was talking with my sponsor a few days ago about helping others and sponsoring. I expressed the feeling that, I don't feel like I'm good enough to help someone else. I don't feel like I should be telling others how to live their life. And as I talked through the conversation, what I realized was I was really judging myself and doing myself a disservice. And so you know, and she's very gentle. She didn't say a word through the whole process. She just kind of let me talk and work my way through it. But, you know, I realized that my job is not necessarily to tell people how to live their life. It's to share my experience and what I'm going through in hopes that it will help and be of service to someone else. And maybe it won't. And that's okay, too. You know, to not do service or to not talk or speak out is a disservice to myself, and it's not doing service for others, which is what the cornerstone of the program is about. So I believe that's probably my 2 minutes. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here and for your service as well. I pass.
Thank you very much, Pam. And thank you to everyone who has shared and listened today. It's been a wonderful meeting. What a good way to start the new year. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Jody E., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I will. Good morning, and thank you, Kathy, for your service, and good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.